I was like, did we all of a sudden turn to AON?
No, fuck that. I mean, hi guys.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about our gaming experiences at OmegaCon Spring, Molly's experiences with goats, and naked Japanese children. We're all going to jail.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host. I am Tim Wick. I'm your host, Tim Wick.
Are you?
I am. That's my name.
Wow.
I'm joined by my two other hosts who also have names. Molly Glover.
Yes, that's my name.
And Nick Glover.
And by process of elimination, that's me.
Bam. I want to be known as Golly Mover now.
Golly Mover.
Yep. Golly Mover. Right.
It is Sunday morning of OmegaCon. If you do not know what OmegaCon Spring, I should make that clear. There are two OmegaCon.
Smegmacon.
If you don't know what OmegaCon is, it is a relaxicon in which about 100 people gather in Siren, Wisconsin and sit around in their pajamas and play board games all weekend.
We don't leave the lodge.
It's the lodge in Siren, Wisconsin. I do strongly encourage you to check this convention out. It happens in April, and then there's another version that is slightly more involved in October.
It should come in April, though.
Yeah, April one is really pretty sweet. Because
and it's November.
November.
It's November. Like November 11th
there's
or something.
There's some rooms available in the April one, so you should come to the April one.
Yeah, the April one is like OmegaCon Light in that in the fall, like I run the movie room for OmegaCon, and I actually like program stuff in the movie room, like four or five movies over the course of the weekend, not too heavy. Mm-hmm. This year, I set up the movie room, and I did not do a goddamn thing in it.
And stuff still happened in it without you needing to do anything. It was great.
Yeah, so it was pretty sweet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Nick, what did you watch in that movie room? You watched this thing.
Yeah, so someone brought a Japanese, not game show, not reality show, but like, I don't know, a celebrity exploitive show, I guess.
Exploitation
show. Yeah, right. Called 24-Hour Tag. And it's
is it literally what it sounds like?
Kind of. So these four guys are trapped in this like high school gymnasium with a little Japanese style living room in the middle with a table and pads to kneel on and stuff. And there's in the corner there's this built up stage thing that dudes get just ejected from in a cloud of smoke, and they just like cruise down this ramp to like really build up speed. And these dudes are wearing all black, shiny, like vinyl Zentai suits, so you can't see their face, hands, or feet. And the dudes have something written on their chest in Japanese, like kickboxer. And so that dude runs out, charges these dudes, and just starts beating the shit out of them with kickboxing. And sometimes he'll tackle one, and two other Zentai suit people will run out and hold the guy up and hold him still, and the kickboxer dude would like give him a swift kick in the ass.
Really?
And then they let him go, and all the Zentai suits dudes just disappear.
And
they're called taggers.
Like, they won the fight. They won the round.
They're called taggers, and their job is to tag someone every so often. How often? Just often enough and not often enough to make everyone super fucking paranoid about every sound. Like, one dude farts and all the guys are like, oh! Like, they all jumped up out of their seats, like, ready to start running from these taggers, because eventually the taggers start getting things like huge metal soup ladles to just crack them in the head with.
The disclaimer on this fucking show must be
it's Japanese.
Yeah, it's four dudes that are like comedians or something, like they're buddies, they're all in on the joke
Japan
together.
Japan has way different laws than we do about stuff on TV.
But then they do weird shit, like one guy got tackled by a guy who had bum written on his shirt.
Yeah.
And so what they did is they pinned the guy down to the ground, and then three giggling, naked, like 4 or 5 year old Japanese boys. No
what?
Shit.
What?
Run out.
Wait,
they run out into the gymnasium, giggling, and they run up to the dude and they sit on his fucking face like nose to asshole.
And they rub their butts on.
And they wiggle a little and then they run away and then the first one does it, the second one does it, the third one does it.
Willingly,
and they run away laughing.
Willingly.
And so they're totally like unblurred, like no censoring at all is happening.
Wow.
And these two kids, these three kids just run away off stage and they let the guy go. And
everyone's like, oh.
And everyone's just like, well, that happened. Like, just
you
now.
You got pranks. You get the bum pranks.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, like, they do it again later, and the adult guy who's running the show runs out, and right after the three kids do it, he does it too. He drops trowel and rubs his, like, fucking asshole on this dude's face, Jesus. And then pulls his pants up and runs away. And, like, the guy is just laying there stunned for, like, a minute or two, and the other guy's coming, they're like, dude, are you all right? Are you okay? And he goes, oh. It was so scratchy on my face. His balls were so scratchy on my face.
I like the
Japan. I don't. You know, it's. I don't. I'm gonna sound. It's not a racism thing. It's just. It's they do stuff in Japan that just. Fucking.
It's a culture thing. It's a totally alien culture.
It's a culture that is so
alien.
Completely different.
The only reason if it's about race is because they are very isolationist with their island and their race
The history of it.
The history of it.
So the best part, after we're done watching the movie or the show, by the way, these guys pop up and fuck with these guys for 24 hours straight, sleeping or not. So it gets, like, bad.
Right.
These
dudes, like solitary.
These dudes, that's what I compared it to as well.
Yeah, that's what
you said. I explained to them what solitary was, they told me that sounded like torture.
It is torture. It's voluntary, though.
Yeah, because they agree to be on the show.
Yeah.
And they don't get shit for being on the show.
They can leave at any time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They can leave at any time.
They can leave at any time. No, not on this show.
She's talking about a different show.
I'm sorry.
But, so this whole movie is on YouTube.
Wow.
So if you just, like, have an hour and a half to kill and you want to watch some fucking crazy Japanese game show... 24-hour tag on YouTube.
It's like a documentary game show.
That happened in Omega Spring. Somebody just brought that and showed it in the movie, right?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun because I like to play new games, but I don't want to learn a new game that's going to take longer than about half an hour unless it's a game that I'm of mine that I want to learn how to play better.
Yeah.
Like, so, you're not going to try to learn Twilight Imperium.
Yeah. Someone's, like, got a new game, and Eric is always really good for that. Eric Knight, he always has some little 20 to 40 minute, you know, game. Maybe it's German or something. Yeah. Some with some cute little quick mechanics that are fun and hard and make it look good for a good... party game, because I like competing with other people, but I like competing with people when things are just random enough that you can't, no one can get angry and you get like bad, weird dynamic.
Oh, you got fucked over. Yeah. Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, because I get I get like really anxious and people start getting really angry at the table about, even if it's subtle, like people get really competitive.
Yeah.
You're also really competitive sometimes.
I'm really competitive with myself. I get down on myself, but I'm trying to be better about that.
It's not at other people. Yeah. You're down on yourself.
Yeah. I'm trying to be better about that. But so we played this game for sale.
For sale, yeah, I played it too.
Yeah, we played that too. Yeah. We all actually were in the same game one time.
Yeah, one time.
I played it a bunch. It's super fun. Just as a quick rundown, it's like a property flipping game, but it's hard to explain without playing it, so I'm not going to really get into it. There's a very tense part at the end where you're doing a simultaneous bidding, and you're getting down with like your cards, and as you know, if you keep track of what big cards or little cards that have been played are out there, you can. It's almost like bridge and hearts.
Yeah.
And spades,
yeah.
Which are other games I really enjoy playing. So I like, it's fun. I like when there's a manageable size of cards.
There's a lot of game theory in it.
A lot of game theory.
And like, it uses this blind bid. The first half of the game is an open bid and with a lot of risk reward calculation. Yeah. And then the second half is this blind bid mechanism, which is very, very simple and also very, very complicated. And that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, when you're sitting there, you're looking at your cards and you got different cards of varying values and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get the most value out of each one of those cards. And sometimes the value's low, but for the cards you have, it's amazing. And that's why you have to make, you're making these guesses of, when's the best time for me to ditch a middle card?
Yeah.
When's the right time for me to toss out a high card? Because the reward on that high card is going to be worth it.
It's just like spades.
It's really a clever game and super fast. Yeah. You know, if you know how to play it, you can play a round of it.
You can learn while playing your first game and be able to teach someone how to play the next game that you play.
The second time,
An average game, with experienced players, a game would be 15 minutes or less, I would think.
Yeah, I think
we could get through it in 10.
If you only had like four people, when six is a bit bloated. Six gets a little bit much.
The sweet spot's four.
I think, for that game, for sure.
Because you're the amount of money you get to bid with changes at five to six players. Yeah. I like having the more money to bid with more frequent auctions.
Yeah.
It was. I played it twice, and
did you win any time?
I did. I won the second time. Booyah!
I won one time. I know. Did you win one time?
I came in second a lot.
Yeah. You were consistently like almost there. Yeah.
I came in second a lot this week. I came in second at a lot of different. It's games. It's true. This you weekend. Did. It's just kind of crazy. So yeah, that's a good game. We'll definitely have to link to it in the show notes.
Did you like the Penny Arcade game that we had you play?
The Penny Arcade game was fun. Yeah, it was a deck builder.
You played Rumble and Relea, which is the second. It's the expansion, but it's a standalone expansion.
You can add it to the original game and mix cards between it with no problem.
Yeah.
Or it stands alone as its own game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. You were saying there's an app for that for the iOS.
Yep, for Gamers vs. Evil, iPad? The first version.
I think I might pick that up.
Dude, because a lot of people here play it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. You know the other app that people were using this weekend, Seven Wonders, is I played a lot of Seven Wonders because it's another game that's really easy to teach people. Yeah. And they've got a scorekeeping app that I saw a bunch of people had on their Android. So I don't know if it's available for iOS. I'll have to research that.
We do a lot of that. We have dice rollers and for fantasy, like, because we have a lot of proprietary dice. So like for the Star Wars RPG, we're going to have a dice app that you can get.
Yeah.
So that you just, it's like, $3 instead of like the $7 that the dice are, so you just, you know, you pay half the price, but you don't have the actual dice,
right?
Yeah. But it's the same thing. And
or if you don't have a store in your area that has them, or
everyone
whatever.
Can have it on their phone.
Exactly.
It's Android and iOS, so that works.
So the nice thing about the Seven Wonders app is, since there's so many different ways to score points, it does a great job of keeping track of it. It's got all the expansions in there, so you don't have to put points in there, but if you're playing with the expansions, you can put it in. So that was pretty cool that somebody was using that. And so the Penny Arcade game has an app as well.
Yep, it has an app. That's a lot of fun.
Is the actual game. You're playing the actual game. And it's, you can turn, like, for things like PvP attack cards.
Yeah.
If you play an asynchronous game, it'll just continue with your turn. And then when it gets to that person's turn that you're attacking, it handles the attack on their turn.
It reconciles it.
Oh.
And so, like, if you get something that's like, if they discard a card, you gain a card, you don't gain that card until your next turn. But it's faster for back and forth turn-based.
Yeah, the other nice thing is that your abilities automatically happen. So you don't have to remember to engage your abilities.
If you're like Jim Dark Magic and there's something conditional.
Or like the monkey boss that we played in Rumble and Relea, which is the same kind of thing. It's like if you reveal that you have five cards, different cards in your hand, you get like +4 and +4. It's crazy amounts of stuff. And then if you forget.
It's Monkey King.
King is a boss.
A king is the ultimate boss, I guess.
A king is a boss for sure.
I think a Monkey King is pretty boss.
I think when you and I were at the zoo on Friday for your birthday, I think there was a zookeeper that stopped and talked to us. I think she was the monkey boss.
She was. She knew a lot of facts about those specific monkeys.
The snow monkeys.
She wanted to tell us about them. Yeah. Well, see, someone threw trash down there. Or drop trash down there, and the monkeys were tearing it apart. It was fucking hilarious.
You got to see
like the baby monkeys were trying to steal it.
It's a matriarchy, so like the like queen monkey, her sons are higher than anyone else's sons. So this little tiny monkey like ended up getting most of the trash because it was his mom is like the shit.
Queen monkey.
So he was like walking up to bigger fucking monkeys and just like slapping them around and taking shit out of their hands.
It was
awesome.
He was the Prince Joffrey of monkeys.
Yeah. No, he totally was. He totally was.
You know, we got to point out that this is Molly's birthday weekend, right?
It is. It was my birthday on Friday. Today's Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I had a great birthday.
Yeah, you go to the zoo for your birthday, don't you? That's like a tradition.
It is. This is our fourth, I think, or fifth year. I think it's our fourth year going to the zoo for my birthday. And because I don't work and Nick doesn't work. And we go to the zoo and because they always have farm babies at the Minnesota Zoo. So you walk. It's like a long walk all the way up there. And then you get there and there's all these baby goats and you can feed them. And so this year... There's tons of kids. It's the first really nice day in Minnesota since last year.
Since forever.
It was like 78 degrees out.
Yeah.
Oh, the day before was like 43.
And so there were. And it's and no, it was a Friday. Right. It was a Friday, so there were all the children in the
field
petting
trips
zoo.
Too.
All the children, and so. And there was, that's not so bad. I'm not saying children don't belong in a petting zoo by any means. I'm there and I'm petting goats. And Nick comes up and he's gonna get me some quarters to get more food. And he puts in a 10 because he's like, it's my birthday. We'll get a lot of food.
Well, that's a lot of food.
The change machine gives them $3.75 back.
In quarters.
Because it runs out of quarters.
Oh, shit.
And we asked the girl who's there, this poor, she's maybe 17.
A volunteer.
And we're like, this is out of quarters. Can you get his money? And she's like, I can pay you in goat food. And I was like, okay. And she brought me, I'm going to say, a liter of goat food.
Oh, my God.
In a red scoop.
Okay.
You fattened up.
I'm
going to
say, imagine, the size of a regular bleach bottle.
Yeah.
If you were to cut off the top of that and add a handle.
Yeah.
That's what she gave us full of goat food.
Oh, my God. The goats loved you.
And so I was giving, so a couple of kids I heard, their parents saying, oh, we don't have any quarters. I'm sorry. It's okay. So I'd be like, here, have some goat food because it's my birthday.
You're like
awesome.
You're both the most popular stranger woman in the entire zoo.
But then all the little kids started coming up to me and saying, can I have some food? Can I? And it's like, yeah, okay. And here's a handful. I want two handfuls. I'm like, okay, well, everyone's going to have one handful. She's like, okay, hold on.
One girl grabbed for your bucket. She tried to stick her hand in.
A girl did take a handful of food out of my bucket.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, man. And so I kind of shake him off, and I go to find Nick, and I was like, all right, I'm a little frustrated because I'm trying to be nice, but at the same time, I don't want to be nice.
These kids are totally grabbing
them. I don't want to reinforce these dick little kids. Seriously.
That was my kid.
They shouldn't be rewarded with goat food.
Yeah. And their parents clearly didn't care. And it was very, that to me is that my mom, that would have been a criminal thing, us being that rude.
My kid had stuck his hand.
Coming up and saying, are you giving out food? Is the great question.
Yes.
Sure, would you like some? Yes, please. Done. Food exchanged.
Yep. Yes.
That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
You know who the worst was? Jamie. That kid Jamie.
Oh, that kid Jamie?
He was the worst.
He really was.
The kid Jamie.
We heard his name.
He was wearing a Batman shirt. He was his little dickhead. His name was Jamie.
His parents were like, Jamie, don't.
Hey, Jamie, if you're listening, fuck you, 9-year-old
You should
asshole.
Wear a Batman shirt if your parents are alive, fucker.
Oh, my God. That's a really big insult to Batman.
It's so brave to pick on a 9-year-old.
I'm a Redditor. Don't you know? I'm a scum of the earth.
Yeah, so Jeremy,
Redditor
Jamie,
atheist.
Jamie hits Molly up for goat food four or five times.
Oh,
my
God.
Just sticking his hands in her face to cup together. And then so finally I'm like, I've got this. So I took the bucket from her and I kind of held it up by my head, up by my shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
My shoulder is off kids' radar. They don't see that high up. They're too short to see my shoulders.
They would have to be really close and look really tall.
Right. So when I hold it up there, proportionally, it almost looks like a big coffee mug or something. So maybe they'll think it's a beverage if I have it up by my head.
Also, they're not going to bother you.
Sure enough, and I'm a scary monster. So sure enough, the kids stop asking. Jamie, fucking greedy-ass Jamie, figures it out and starts, sticking his hand, oh, give me goat food. And so I, had some in my hand that I was ready to feed to a goat, and this kid was being so pushy that I went to put out my hand, here, give me your hand so I can give you some goat food. And I just, I dropped the goat food in his hand in such a way that, all the goat food just went on the ground. Goat food, there's your fucking goat food. You didn't catch it all. Darn, now go pick it up. You have to work for it a little bit.
God.
He's a jerk.
But then we ended up giving it. We ended up having a ton left and giving it to some people as we took it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, a shit ton of goat food. It's not like it was a problem giving it to these kids, but they were really being little jackass.
If there were no kids there, that goat food would have lasted me 2 hours. And it would have been a magical day.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I could not. I wanted to feed the goat still so bad. I had a little kid. Down by the baby goats. I had a little kid. They were just trying to push me out of the way. And since their parents have told them, adults. don't count or for whatever reason in these situations. Yeah. Like, and the parents don't think I should count. They're kind of like, oh, that's, I mean, but you're a grown up, right? Like, why are you?
Yeah.
It's like, none of your goddamn business. Like, the animals are to be seen here. Like, your kid doesn't get preference just because you are in a hurry because you are tired. It's not my problem.
Yeah, as a parent, I often...
You're a good parent.
Well, I'm a parent.
You're a reasonable parent. How's that?
Sometimes I parent well and sometimes I parent poorly, but that kind of behavior would really bother me.
When I say you're a good parent, I don't mean between you and your kids. I don't know that story. I mean to other people as adults.
Yeah.
You are a good parent. Your kids are well behaved. I don't ever feel like I have to tell you that your kids need some fucking minding.
I really appreciate how your kids behave.
You and Pat are good.
For sure.
Really good with
them. Thank you.
And that's I cannot say the same thing for a lot of the people that I have come across in my life.
Yeah, you know, I have a real problem with parents that don't know how to, that don't even try to control.
Don't even try. There we go.
It's that they don't try to. It's like, come on, teach your kids good manners. How fucking hard is it?
Or they think it shouldn't matter, or they'll teach them when they're older.
Do they think God's going to teach their kids good manners? I mean, what the hell?
I don't know.
I don't know. But so back to games.
Sure.
I want to talk about a game that I played called Tikal, which I got taught by a friend of the show, Brianne Bilieu.
Okay.
It's a resource gathering game. It's sort of, you know, being a Raiders of the Lost Ark fan, she described it as kind of a Raiders of the Lost Ark style game in that you're in
Sold.
You're in South America and you've got your little expedition dudes that are going out to explore South America and steal the resources of the ancient Mayan civilizations and exploit them for their own game. And actually, when it comes right down to it, you're less like Indiana Jones than you are like Belloc, because what you're really trying to do is jump on other people's resources, like, let them do the work, and then come in and take it.
And so you see, Mr. Wick, there's nothing that you can possess which I cannot take away.
That quote gets used a lot when you play this game.
I bet.
Awesome.
I would say it every turn.
It was just all the time. So all the turns. And you move your guys in, and the game board slowly reveals itself. You're trying to excavate pyramids. The bigger the pyramid gets, the more points it's worth.
Are they tiles that flip over to show you like what?
They're tiles that flip over and you get to place them. So each person gets to flip over a tile.
So you're kind of building the dungeon as you go.
You're building the jungle as you go. Movement is dependent on basically how many bridges there are between each space. So you can lock people out of a space that's beneficial to you by making it really hard to move to that space.
Like Dracon?
If you've got guys that are already well apportioned to go there. So I guess I enjoyed it because everybody was a new player and I totally kicked everybody's ass.
That's awesome. I love when that happens.
Owned that game. It was hilarious. But it's super easy to learn. Super easy to learn and super simple game mechanic with just everybody gets a set number of moves per turn. It never changes. There are like 7 different actions you can do which have a certain number of moves that action costs.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've used up all your moves, you've used up all your moves. So so you don't have to worry about, if I've got this little extra thing, I get 2 extra moves this turn. That doesn't happen. Everybody gets 10 moves a turn. Boom. Move your 10 moves and you're done. So now you got to decide, well, do I spend, say, 5 points? If you spend 5 points, you can protect a pyramid that you've already built so that nobody else can come in and snag it from you. So, but that's 5 of your 10 points. That's half of your points to now protect this pyramid. But that means those points are yours for the rest of the game. Every time there's a scoring phase, those points are yours. As opposed to somebody being able to come in and Belloc the shit out of you and take that pyramid from you.
Is it scored like after everyone has a turn? Is there a scoring phase?
There's a random scoring factor. Oh. So what happens is 3 times in the game and then at the end of the game, after the last tile's turn, but 3 times in the game, other than that, there are volcanoes. You turn up a volcano, it's a scoring phase. So you turn up a volcano, you get to move, and then everybody scores. So turning up a volcano is the best fucking thing in the game.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because if I turn up a volcano, I now get to move to maximize my point.
Yeah,
potential.
You get to move knowing that no one else
and
can.
And walk out with like a mic drop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
That's great.
Yeah. So everybody else is probably going to get points. Oh, it was really fun.
I
hope I get a chance to play it again.
I would play it again. I would play with you guys if you guys.
So it was a really
good
time. But we're almost to 5 question time, but Nick, did you have a game that you played this weekend you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, the 3 of us played a few times too. Yeah. Marvel Legendary, that deck builder.
Mm-hmm.
That is real fun. It's got a lot of great mechanics in it. It's a cooperative deck builder. I'd say it's like kind of like the Penny Arcade Gamers vs. Evil.
Yeah.
But then, like...
Which all kind of had Dominion as a root.
But then, like, yeah. Arkham Horror.
Yeah.
Or maybe Elder Sign. Because mm-hmm. you're working to beat a particular villain and a particular scenario. Yeah.
It's more like Penny Arcade than Dominion because of the buying and defeating bosses specifically, yeah. I think, right. is a big part of it.
I think Dominion... I kind of, you know, like, they're all off the Dominion game tree.
Sure, no, yeah.
It's card deck yeah. building. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's what Vaccarino pretty much kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's... The villains are great. I mean, we did like Dr. Doom, and then the scenario was he's harnessing the power of the cosmic cube. So like slowly the world is like being destroyed and remade as you're trying to defeat Dr. Doom. And if you don't do it in time, you die.
You lose.
Or the and Red Skull. Or
we had the Red Skull robbing a bank. And then also we had the Red Skull orchestrating the superhuman Civil War.
The Civil War. That
which
was,
we lost.
That was... fucking horrifying. Because, that was a holocaust of powered people. Like, that yeah, was just... It was, oh, my God.
It's hard. It's like, you can... You need
it's
to,
fun
you
to
need
lose.
To you need to recruit superheroes, but if you can't recruit them fast enough, you can just get fucked in a hurry.
I think it's fun yeah. to lose because we lost in a way that didn't seem all that annoying. We lost because we ran out of heroes. Or another time we lost because...
The Doom track equivalents filled.
Yeah. And that's yeah. not... I don't mind those kinds of losses. What I don't like are losses where no one can even play because the game is so broken because you're losing so badly. Yeah. Like, this was fun to lose. The whole time, we always had a chance. There was always a chance. Yeah. And even when the odds were against
us. If we had, like, two more good turns, like, two people had one good turn each, we probably would have won either of those games.
Yeah. The best part is it's, like, it feels the way that the fights do in comic books because it's, like, there's no way this could be won. And sometimes it can't, and you lose. And then other times
then,
you do win, but it's always a dramatic
thing.
Machina
that comes up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you just draw, like, maybe you draw just a combination. The combinations in that game are sick. The chains.
Yeah, yeah. The cards chain off each other.
Combo moves.
And picking the right heroes that complement each other is a huge piece of it.
If you don't do that, your deck is garbage.
If you do random, you...
It's like magic. There's like mana colors practically.
Kind of,
it's
there's classes of hero.
Everything has like two colors in a way.
And it's like Thor might be, you know, a precision class, but he's also a bruiser class or whatever. So like some of his cards are one type and some of his cards are another ones. So you want Thor...
But they're all Avengers.
You want him to team up with Rogue because Rogue works well with bruisers and like practically doubles their strength when they're around.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. There's definitely combinations that are stronger than others.
And there's clearly, there's going to be expansions going on. Like, I was...
There's Dark City is...
Because there's not even... There's, I didn't even notice...
There's Dark City and Fantastic Four.
Characters yeah.
The Fantastic Four one is coming... it's been announced, but I don't even know if they
and
started production.
The one that comes out in a month or two is Dark City. Which is... I read a bunch of Marvel Knights stuff.
Oh, okay.
Which means, like, we're probably going to see Punisher and Daredevil, maybe, like, Ben Ulrich or something like that.
Panther.
You might even see like Jewel and Alias.
Who's the tarantula
stuff, like,
one?
Purple Man.
Who's the tarantula one with the
White Tiger?
White Tiger and the tarantula. White Tiger and tarantula.
Yeah.
Because there's
Iron Fist, Power Man.
Yeah. Elektra.
Yeah. Sure.
And all those New York villains Hell's Kitchen villains.
Yeah. Street level.
Yeah. I enjoyed the games that I played. I managed to win both times. Not like the points. Because once you win the scenario, then you add up the points that you got, and then there's a winner of the game.
A VIP.
And I totally did not win either game, but I helped win the game total.
Yes. Your team won.
There's a sense of satisfaction.
You didn't get MVP.
In that you did not cause the death of your entire team.
Yeah.
Even if you're not the VIP, you still won.
Yeah.
We all won.
Exactly.
It's a co-op game that
I like
keeps
co-op
score.
Games sometimes.
I like co-op games, and I like co-op games that end with an MVP. Because I like a co-op game that ends with a winner, but not like
measurable.
Really. A measurable, like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we got to get to our five questions.
All right.
Sure.
We have our five questions from our friend Timothy Iverson, or as we like to call him, Timmy.
Timmy.
Or Timmy the Cripple.
Timmy the Cripple.
Timmy the Cripple. And he...
That is his own given name. Please don't make it sound like we are calling him a cripple.
Yeah, it's
like,
not... It's not.
If you know...
I mean, we've sounded like a dick quite a few times
on this
podcast.
All of a sudden there, I was like, yeah.
You know, talking about awful children and all this and Japanese schoolboys. Naked Japanese schoolboys sitting on other people's faces. But
yeah, we went a lot of places in this podcast.
Yeah. We're not even drunk. Anyway, so Timmy answered a question. I will read the answers. Molly, do you want to read out question number one?
Yes. Question one. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Okay, Timmy says Beasts of the Southern Wild. Mm. Maybe my favorite film of the year. It was an Oscar-nominated film.
Wow.
Super, super cheapo indie film produced about a little girl in the Louisiana bayou.
Hmm.
Looks like it's set during, before, during, and after Katrina.
Is this what he said, or is this what you were saying?
All he said was Beasts of the Southern Wild. I'm just filling in the blanks. And I've seen it. It was...
the little girl that was nominated.
Kavanche.
She won?
No,
she didn't win. But she's really good. Here's the thing. It's not my kind of movie. So I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. I thought it was well made. I always, with kids that young, to me, I always wonder how much of that is them being good actors, mm-hmm. and how much of that is the director and the editor being able to find the best takes.
Them just being precocious.
And the director, because Spielberg always got great performances out of little kids. And people talked about how good he was at directing little kids.
Dakota Fanning was an amazing actress as a little girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. She was a really good actress. In I Am Sam, she's amazing, and it's not because of good takes, for real.
Yeah.
And so I think that Haley
Joel Osment is the same way. You know that he was a good actor as a kid, not just well directed. But and so I don't want to say that this girl is a bad actress.
You
don't know yet. You don't know yet. She's only been in one movie.
That's true.
So question number two.
Who's your favorite atheist character?
He says, "Can I have two? I like River Tam from Firefly, and Albert the Mouse from 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I love the song from the cartoon because the lyrics go, 'You hope and I'll hurry, you pray and I'll plan. Mm-hmm. We'll do what's necessary because even a miracle needs a hand.'"
Yeah.
Huh. Very good.
Yeah, I'm going to ask, and I don't hate Firefly by any means, but I have watched it once.
The whole way through?
Yeah, the whole way through. I can't recall any time.
Have you seen the movie?
I've seen Serenity twice.
Do you remember the scenes where she's dissecting the Bible? Bible?
No.
Okay.
So, I didn't remember whether or not there was a point.
She starts to revise his Bible and tear out contradictions and try to justify things that contradict each other in the Bible by applying, possible quantum metaphysical
components. She takes it to a crazy place, of course.
Being like, well, this couldn't happen unless there was, I don't know, a wormhole, this, and I suppose if this happened, this could, she's trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. And she's missing the buffer there to make her not care about that as much.
And it definitely is implied that she is too smart to believe in God.
To believe in
because she is too she thinks too advanced to be able to.
What did they say? Described her as a raw nerve.
Yeah.
And so she's sensitive to the truth.
She's at least too smart to believe in a God that you can find in that book.
There you go. Yeah, for sure.
So
that's all right. More accurate.
Question number three.
Question number three is
hobby.
What is your geekiest hobby? I'm sorry.
I thought by now we knew him. My bad.
I'm bad with these.
He says, I don't have one anymore, really. I used to collect Star Wars bubblegum cards and stickers.
Awesome.
I mean, all of them. It even extended into other movies like Raiders, Batman, and others. Currently, I guess it would be, I'm kind of obsessed with cookbooks.
Hmm.
So he's obsessed with cookbooks.
I had those Batman stickers. I bought a lot of bubblegum sticker cards for Batman, Terminator 2.
Like Tim Burton, Batman?
No, the very first one, Michael Keaton. Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. The TMNT movie, the first one, the Ninja Turtle movie.
I had those sticker books. I had those sticker books for those.
What else did we get them for? We got them for a lot of movies because they sold them at the little store and I'm a sucker for a movie still.
I was reading Turtles got me into those because I was reading the cartoon Ninja Turtles comics, which got me into the Eastman and Laird ones when I was like 12 or 13.
I have no credit about the comic. I never read it.
So, clarifying question for Timmy if he listens to this podcast. I just want to know, what's your favorite cookbook?
Yes.
I don't have anything to say about it. I want to know, do you still have your Star Wars cards or did you get rid of them?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm just curious. I want to know the answers to those questions. So, Timmy, if you hear that comment in the comment section, we'd love to know. Question number four.
What is your favorite sandwich?
I have only had it once. I loved it, and I think where I was helped But I loved it, and I think where I was helped. Sorry, no emphasis right. in here. But I was in Paris, France. I bought an open-faced sandwich from a street cart that was a fresh baguette, half with olive oil, fresh basils, and tomato with some kind of incredible cheese that I can't place. But I'm going to bet this is Tim saying it was French. All I know is I would spend the $2,000 and fly 18 hours in the baggage compartment to eat it again.
Damn it.
What? I'm trying to fill.
I just like I'm just trying to picture the idea of Timmy like being bundled into a duffel bag and just like you all right, buddy? You got a juice box? Like okay, like slumping, just like I just like, tossed in there, and just, he's just happy. He's just know, like that's
just,
cool.
We just flat Stanley him over to Paris, yeah. France.
We give him a muscle relaxant. He just falls asleep. Like
cut to inside the duffel bag. Sandwich.
Just he's, like he's got an iPad, just like an inch from his face. He's watching Hulu. Like, yeah.
All right, question number 5.
Question 5 is, what's the rudest or stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
All right, one day I was walking down the street and a group of Christians, a pastor and his youth followers, came up to me and asked if I believed in Christ. I said I used to, but not anymore. When they asked me why, I told them I lost my faith because all my life people told me that God would heal my cerebral palsy and I would walk one day.
Oh,
the pastor said the reason I couldn't walk was because I was filled with Satan and I did not believe hard enough in Jesus.
Are you shitting me?
That's what he says. Not because the surgeon cut through my muscles with a scalpel. Because Timmy, it's important. He has cerebral palsy, and his legs are fused at the knees, so he can't bend his knees.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's why he can't walk. He can walk with.
Because they did a surgery to keep him out of a wheelchair, basically.
Yeah. I told him, what about when I did believe with all my heart as a young boy? I was innocent. Tell me then, who is a better witness for Christ? Someone like him that was physically healthy? Or a guy like me who had a disability that brought me so much suffering and still believed? I told him, shame on you for pretending to know the mind of God. How do you know he did not put me here to teach you how wrong you are in your beliefs?
So, damn.
When somebody says that to you as a religious person, as somebody trying to witness.
Blaming the victim like that? Yeah, like, I mean, that's
exactly
like,
what it's, it is.
Yeah, it's...
How do you feel okay about... And you're doing...
Something bad happened to you. You must have done something really bad to deserve that.
Yeah. He's a youth pastor, too. I mean, he's with kids in this story. So he's teaching kids, you know, oh, by the way, if you see somebody who's crippled or who lost an arm or something like that, it's because they didn't love Jesus well enough.
And this is what frustrates me. It frustrates me that people then say... Well, but that is such a small group of Christians. Like, that's the people who think like that. That's not my church. That's not the way I think. That's not my version of Christianity. And it's like, okay, that's fine. You're all still religious. So I'm not saying you're as bad as them. I'm saying you're with these people. You are aligned with these people in some way. Just keep that in mind. Like, just please think about that and what that means.
They're representing
maybe
you
should
and
be
speaking
witnessing,
on your behalf.
Maybe you should be witnessing at their church. Maybe your sane church should be doing some witnessing
at the crazy people.
Work on your own shit. Leave us out of it.
I wrote a blog post this week that I'll link to just because one of the things that I have a problem with when it comes to believing in God and with people who say, well, you know, I'm not that kind of a Christian. That's one of the main reasons that I don't buy Christianity as being right, because Christians can't even agree with each other about the interpretation of the book that they all say is the word of God. And that to me is just a fundamental disconnect. And it's the same with Islam, it's the same with Judaism, same with Hinduism. All the major world religions can't agree amongst themselves on
sex.
How to interpret their own religion.
Sex that fight.
Yeah. And they get into big old battles about which one is doing a better job being a Christian. And at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, all right, so what's more likely, that one of you has got it right about God and the rest of you are wrong? Or that all of you are wrong. And I just feel that the odds are really in the favor of all of them being wrong.
Well, of course they are. The odds are like 5 to infinity. There's infinity other things that could be right if you want to go into that. So it's stupid.
Even if you want to believe in God, it just doesn't make any sense to believe in a God that anybody else has thought up. Because there are so many odds. There's so many out there. You know, you could believe in any God you want.
Yeah, but believing in a God that nobody else has thought up is what gets you put in mental institutions. or you get to write comic books for a really long time with your snake gun.
Or you start a cult.
Or you start a cult.
And the FBI kills you. Anyway.
And that's been a mega con.
So thank you very
much. This was a dark and weird podcast.
Really weird.
I liked it a lot.
So this, we have been Geeks Without God. Yes. I am Tim. This is Molly. This is Nick. Hey. If you would like to write us and tell us what you think of the podcast, you can always write either Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. And of course, you can send in your answers to our 5 questions. We will eventually read them on the air if you send them into 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
If you were at OmegaCon and played a game that you particularly liked, tell us about it in the comments. Or if you weren't at OmegaCon and there's something you've been playing lately, let us know that too.
Yeah, we're totally nerding out about board games right now. So we want to hear about great games. So thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. Good night.
Good night. Bye. Bye.
Once again, Dr. Jones, we see there is no goat food you can possess that I cannot take away.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hey, if you're going to leave a comment, make sure it doesn't say something like, I have an amazing purse opportunity for your website, which makes so much good things. I learned a lot from being here. Come to my site.